Look at, somebody read Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 11. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 11.
A just weight and balance are the Lord's, all the weights of the bag are His work.
Very good. What can we get out of that verse to help us? Any thoughts that we can take with this? And we're going to come back to the being yoked with Christ in just a few minutes. But what can we get out of this verse? Mr. Gerges, what do you have?
All the weights in the bag are His work.
All the weights in the bag are His work.
Okay. Anybody else want to add to that? Can I give you the Hadley paraphrase? I pondered that verse last night, and I jotted down my own paraphrase of it. And here it is. All things are God's. That's what Mr. Gergen said. All things are God's, and that He is, and He must always be, the standard by which we measure everything. That's it. And let me just repeat that. All things are God's, and that He is and must always be the standard by which we measure everything. That's the standard. And so if we want balance in our life, this thought that the balances are His. So we have to turn to Him, and we have to get what He says, and we have to apply that then in our life. Somebody read Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. Proverbs 11, verse 1.
A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight.
Okay, what do we get out of that? Let's open it up, anybody. What do we get out of that?
This as well just kind of ties into the last one we just read with Proverbs 16, where the Lord is just the standard for justice. Like, there's never been a time where anybody's described Him as an unjust God, right? He's completely fair, completely just. So the very idea of justice is pleasing to Him. But and then on the other hand, injustice and unfairness is something that's an abomination to Him because He's the set standard for being fair.
Very good.
Whenever we use a weight that is not His weight, whenever we evaluate things but not His evaluation, and say this is unequal, this is not balanced, this is abomination unto Him.
Excellent. Excellent. Any other thoughts? So, was there another thought? Somebody have another comment? Okay, I want to give you some scriptures and just jot them down, write them down. We're not going to look them up. But Leviticus 19:36 speaks of balance in trade. God demands balance in our business practices. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's Leviticus 19:36. Mm-hmm. Very important. Job 31:6, and this is very important for the Christian particularly. Job 31:6 is God demands balance in a person's integrity. In a person's integrity, there needs to be a balance. Measured again by God Himself. Measured again according to the Word of God. That's where integrity comes from. And then here's another one. Job 6:2, you can jot that down. Job is complaining with God, and he's actually calling God unfair. And God speaks about the balances there. And so here's the bottom line question, and then we're going to open this up for further discussion. Bottom line question is, what is a balanced way of life for the believer? And this comes into the notes that Steve stuck in my room and stole. What is a balanced way of life for the believer? Sometimes we answer this question by priorities. If I was to ask you, what are your priorities, what would you tell me? Throw some priorities. What's the number one priority for us? God. Number two priority? Family. Number three priority? Work. Want to go four?
School, possibly.
Okay, possibly school. Okay, we'll stop there. Because we could divide this up long, long, long way, right? Can I just make a suggestion? We're all wrong. And here's why. We do this, we say God has to have the first place, the assembly, the second place. None of you mentioned that, by the way, assembly. And so your priorities are messed up. No, I'm just kidding. So we say God, we say the assembly, we say work, we say family, and we put these in different categories. And somebody read for me. Well, no, let me ask you a question. Can you think of any scripture that would tell us what our priority ought to be? Very good. Can you read that, Joe? Can somebody get Joe a microphone? Was that Joe that said that?
Yeah.
I thought I recognized that voice.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Okay, very good. We often make this connection with that, and it's not a cliche, but we often say that the Lord is present in most of our lives as Christians. In some of our lives, he's prominent, but is he preeminent in all of our lives? That in all things he might have the preeminence. How about some other scriptures? Any other scriptures? I know there's a few. So anybody else think of other verses that would help us with this? Other verses that show that he ought to be our priority.
1 Peter 3:15.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. And that would primarily the first clause. But always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect.
Okay. Good. Very good. Other verses.
Philippians 1:21. Philippians 1:21 says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain."
Okay. With those verses, you can also add comments. We allow that. Any other verses? Perhaps still in Philippians.
I was thinking 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God."
Very good.
Pretty straightforward.
Okay, Mark?
Philippians chapter 2:10-11 possibly. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Okay,